What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest in sports news, fantasy analysis, and opinions. Don't forget the hot takes. Can't have a sports show without hot takes these days. What about hot cakes, though? I want some hot cakes. Now here's your host, ready to jump into the thick of things, Dwayne Callender.
Hello, Throwdown Nation. It is a very cranky Friday morning for yours truly. After watching a brutal, brutal performance by the New York Football Giants against the Eagles. And, you know, I've already seen some lazy takes come out from the media. I'm already listening to sports talk radio, not diagnose the actual issues wrong with the team, and just making this a strictly Eli Manning issue. You know, if you didn't pay attention to the game Sunday against Carolina to see that there were other issues going wrong with this team besides Eli and whatever outbursts Odell may have on the sidelines, you know, again, I don't know what else to tell you. There were too many things that are wrong with this team that just trying to summarize it as an issue between Odell or Eli is the problem. You know, you like the media just are just being ridiculous about this. I'm bringing my dad on right now, so welcome to the show, Dad. And I'm just going to start off with the fact that, you know, the Giants as a whole are a complete and utter mess. So basically, even if it was Brady or Mahomes, they're not going to last the way this offensive line plays. It's incomprehensible that anyone with half a brain could actually think that this is going to be strictly a problem that can be fixed with a quarterback. The offensive line is so bad right now, it's not even a replacement level offensive line. I rewatched the game from last night this morning. And even though it was 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm rewatching just because I'm waiting to see, maybe there was something I missed. There wasn't a single player on that offensive line that even did a remotely average job. Everyone ranged from mediocre to flat-out awful. And Omame was actually the worst guy. I thought it was going to be Wheeler. It was actually Omame who got dominated the worst out of all of them. So it's I want someone to actually be able to articulate an argument that somehow you would have been better off of a quarterback when, the data just shows, how poor the offensive line play is. Who the hell in the National Football League is actually going to be able to work with this offensive line and be productive? I want someone to actually explain that one to me, because I keep hearing these lines that Eli has to be replaced. No kidding. But literally, who are you bringing in with the roster assembled right now that even remotely gets anything productive done? Because guess what? They'd be in the exact same spot we are right now.
Well, the easy thing to do is to say it's Eli. That's the easy thing. You know, because, you know, first of all, he's not a guy that makes a lot of fuss, so you don't blame anybody. You know, but you tell me that last night you watch him and the Eagles, at the first snap, the Eagles is in the backfield already. I mean, the only thing last night showed you is how good Saquon Barkley really is.
Oh, yeah, and Saquon made his own holes, because it damn sure wasn't from the blocking. Saquon just made his own cuts and got around the holes. Because the Eagles were so aggressive with rushing the passer that Saquon was actually able to make back cuts and create his own holes to just plow right through. And the Eagles didn't understand how fast Saquon truly is. That's why they got burned so badly, because they're like, oh, crap, this kid's even faster than we thought.
Yeah, because, like I said, the touchdown, when he made that cut, and he went, the Brahman or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
You could tell that he couldn't believe that he was gone, you know. So, I mean.
Yeah, Nigel Bradham was just like, oh, crap.
Is Eli missing throws and stuff? Yeah. But part of the problem is, you know, why are they talking about Eli? But I think Eli wouldn't mind going with that line, you know? He wouldn't mind going, because he probably will get killed, because that line can't protect anybody.
Yeah, no.
And Eli is a quarterback that needs a good line, because he doesn't move. He needs time to stay his reach. And he can make any trade he wants, but he needs time. And with that life, you need to be like Lamar Jackson. You got to have Lamar Jackson to survive with that life.
But people are literally acting as though a younger QB would be able to move and throw, and like a younger QB would be getting their asses kicked. And there's nothing that can screw up a young QB more than having a terrible offensive line. And they keep always pointing to the success stories like Troy Aikman. But more often than not, QBs bomb out of the league because they get beat up too early. It's just a matter of fact that, like, more often than not, a QB will wash out with a lousy offensive line. And it may not be the fact that their talent level wasn't there. It's because they took too many hits early on, and it changed how their quarterback thought process worked.
Yeah, well, Troy.
One of the key things about that was, like, you look at teams because it's happened throughout the course of history. Tampa, Detroit, the Jets, one of the most famous examples. Like, sometimes teams just were not good enough to block for certain guys. And, yeah, were some QBs just going to be busts anyway? Absolutely. But, like, people keep acting as though if you throw the rookie QB out there to the Wolves, it'll work out years 2 and 3. No, it doesn't always work that way. I feel as though some folks are just stuck with the old school way of thinking. Analytics has shown if a QB takes enough hits, they're not going to be as productive moving forward. So I know Gettleman probably looked at this, and even though he says he scoffs at analytics, he knows common sense-wise that if you throw a young QB out there and they're going to get their asses handed to them time after time, it's not going to end up well. So why waste the draft pick that high when you could have just taken the best player in the draft and then draft a QB next year? Because part of me thinks that Gettleman did this with the intention of, okay, this line should work well, but worst case scenario, we get a high draft pick next year. Because, like, I feel as though Gettleman just thought that plugging in those two, plugging in Nate Solder and paying him a lot of money and paying Omame a good amount of money was going to fix the offensive line if we just push Flowers over to right tackle. But the fact of the matter is, like, for whatever reason, this line is performing just as bad, if not worse, than the offensive line last year.
Let me tell you something. That line was getting beat so bad last night that I thought Trent Cole was playing for the Giants, because he was in that backfield so often that, I mean, you know.
Well, it wasn't even just Trent Cole. Fletcher Cox was like... There were times where Fletcher Cox was the center for the New York Giants because he just went through.
I mean Fletcher Cox. Yeah. I thought he was playing for the Giants. You know, because Aikman even said last night, he said, Eli has no chance. You know, it's not like it. You saw where, you know, everybody's saying, you got to throw the ball downfield. Yeah, you got to throw the ball downfield, but people got to reach downfield. You see what happened with, I think it was the first play in the second half, when Eli tried to throw that lob for Beckham. And Eli, the throw needed to be a little further out. Now, Beckham didn't jump in a video. But the defender, he couldn't separate from the defender before the throw comes, because he has to rush the throw. And he still got hit.
Yep.
And the ball almost got intercepted because the defender went up, batted the ball, and it almost came down by the other safety.
Yeah.
So, not getting enough time to make those long passes.
Yeah, and here are some other things that I better see for the next game Monday night. I gotta rewatch the play again to get the number of that gunner, but if I see that same gunner who jogged right past the Eagles player as he's muffing the punt, and if I see him being the gunner again on Monday night, I'm probably gonna break something. Because, you know, that guy, if you're going to do anything with a team, I would just cut the guy. I would cut the guy, the gunner. I'm not sure if you remember the play, but, like, this was, like, still...
I know, the guy went for a play, and he just jogged right past him, and he must have been.
Yeah, it's like, I would just cut that guy.
He wasn't running for it. It's not like a point beacon where, you know, he ran for it. He just, you know, I mean... When you coming down and the guy signals clear catch, you got two things to do. Make sure you don't hit him, and the only other play is to hope that he mounts the punt. You can't run past him.
I mean, you know? literally, the ball bounced 4 yards ahead of him, and the guy was, like, nowhere to be found because...
And he didn't get blocked. He didn't get pushed past him.
No.
He just ran past him. I remember, I think we were on the phone at that time. We were talking, and I told you, okay, wait a minute. This guy just ran right by the player. You know, I mean, look, while people talking about Eli and stuff, that defense hasn't stopped anybody from the first game of the season. So I don't want to hear shit about, you know, it's not like they're playing, the defense is, you know, the defense is doing their job, but we're not stopping anybody. He let Dak Prescott carve us up. How the hell did Dak Prescott get to make that big play? You know, against everybody else, he's having problems moving the ball, but there was no problem I mean, Dallas jumped up to a 10-point lead against us. And you know, the offense ain't really doing much.
Yeah. But again, like we talked about this before, you got a Giants defense where Olivier Vernon has been injured the entire year. This is his first game back. Like, there was no pass rush with him gone. No one else can rush the passer, it seems. You have Snacks Harrison not adjusting well to the 3-4 at all. It's like we're running a 3-4, but we have no linebackers. So it's like Connor Barwin is done. I mean, let's just be frank. Connor Barwin is done. He's...
Well, I sometimes I want to make him explain because you don't even hear his name.
Yeah, it's like Ogletree is just basically making tackles. He's not pass rushing at all. So it's like, okay, we got Ogletree in there, but he's not doing anything. You got Snacks Harrison not feeling it at all as to playing the nose tackle, and... He was up front saying that he doesn't like playing the position, so you can't be that shocked. You got a secondary where Eli Apple is in and out of the lineup with injuries. You've got Jack Rabbit, who's supposed to be the linchpin of the secondary coverage unit, just being completely disinterested in his job and getting burned repeatedly on pass plays because he's not paying attention. And so what you're basically left with is Landon Collins trying to make plays all over the field. And it's just like your safety cannot be the only guy trying to make plays on the field. If your safety is the one making all the tackles, you got a bad defense. Your safety is not supposed to lead the team in tackles multiple years in a row. This is broken right now. And like they can say what they want. This team is broken. And, you know, the defense, you can see, doesn't believe in the system that they're running. And, you know, I know folks don't want to hear this talk, but we got to have some serious talk on whether or not we need to fire this entire coaching staff and just start over again. Because, yeah, no one likes to do multiple reboots in a row, but clearly you can see that the players are not buying into the system at all. And the offense looks so lifeless and lack of creativity because they don't move around Odell. They don't move around Shepard. Like, realistically, I don't know what offense this team is trying to run because, for the life of me, I can't understand why we're trying to do a short passing attack. But it took until last night for them to actually call a running back screenplay. That was the first running back screenplay we've called all year. And it's only because we were down 3 scores and they didn't have anything else to run because nothing else worked. You know, it's embarrassing. It's like, I don't understand what Pat Shurmur's offense, what his actual goal is. Because if you looked at the chart breakdown, and I had it with me somewhere, but literally 59% of the pass plays were 10 yards or less. Then the other, so you have 59% of the pass plays were 10 yards or less. Then you had another 35% of the pass plays. So literally, at that point, you got 6% of the pass plays were 20 yards or more. So literally, the entire offense is under 20 yards passing in terms of a ball flight path. Part of that is because of the offensive line. But the other part of it is we're not even calling for go routes because there's no... It's like, why not at least have Eli try to do a rollout? Why not try to at least do shotgun and give Eli a little bit more room to throw the ball deep? There is no attempt at even trying to be aggressive on offense. And that, to me... is the sign of a coaching staff that's already prepared to accept defeat and is just trying to install locker room culture. Pardon me, but like technically, we're not even. You should have been able to install culture in the preseason. Anything. Like these guys are not responding. I'd rather just clear out the coaching staff because guess what? It is a lot easier to just install a new coaching staff than to just throw out an entire roster of players. And guess what? Jerry Reese did us a complete disservice the last 5 years with his drafting and player personnel management, which we've talked about at length. But the fact of the matter is that Pat Shurmur just, like, he can do all the soundbite clips that he wants. But when I watch this team play, no one is actually buying into anything that he's selling right now.
Nope. I don't see it. This team comes on the field and, like I say, while people are talking about, well, the defense believes that the offense is not going to do it, I want somebody to point to me the stellar game that defense has played all season. They haven't stopped anybody. So while everybody's talking about Eli and this and that, we can stop anybody. You know? So it's the same problem. I mean, even in the first game, we couldn't stop Jacksonville from coming down and taking the lead, you know, and beating us. So I don't want to hear that because Jacksonville can't score on nobody, and they scored on us, you know, because Bortles is terrible, and he's still beat us with some stupid long runs that for some reason we can compensate for. So I don't want to hear anybody complaining. I mean, like I said, the easiest guy is Eli. If they say that he's finished and he's this and he's whatever, but to me that's the easy way out. Because if you just blame Eli for this, you're not really watching the game.
Yeah, and that's what... And honestly, I feel most of the football columnists and writers in New York are just lazy. I honestly think most writers and media personnel in New York are just lazy and don't actually bother paying attention to sports. They just like taking the sound bites. They already have their stories written. And they just... I would say that they suffer from the Stephen A. Smith syndrome, where they actually don't actually watch sports anymore. They just do a take and they stick to that take, and that's all that matters. And I think that's what journalism has broken down to today, because realistically, if I was placing the percentage of blame for this season, I would say 70% of the blame has to go to Dave Gettleman, because we have both talked about this at length, that the Giants draft didn't make a whole lot of sense because the Giants needed so many different players at different positions, namely offensive line and linebacker, and we just didn't have enough draft picks. Like, we didn't trade back at all. We didn't try to bring in guys. And so when you see that, and then when you see after preseason ends, the Giants have to bring in 8 guys off of waivers, which is incredibly high because they didn't like anyone. It's like, then why didn't you draft more players? Why didn't you sign more free agents? It's like I don't understand the Giants, because they realistically, I think they came into this season being way too naive about the roster that they actually had. And now that things are getting real, they don't want to deal with the conflict. Because my biggest thing with Odell's interview wasn't the fact that, you know, he said the things that he said, because Odell did make some salient points. It wasn't the right form to do it, but, like, Odell had salient points. But if Odell can point out exactly what's going on, clearly he voiced those exact same concerns internally to the Giants management, and Giants management just kind of throwing their hands up in the air saying, well, it is what it is. Like, I feel it's insulting to a fan base that's paying PSLs for their seats that you are this inept at managing an NFL roster. Like, I expect this nonsense out of the Jets, but to be perfectly frank, the Giants are not behaving that much better. And I feel as though John Mara has gotten it incredibly, and I also blame Steve Tisch for this too. I feel that they were asleep at the wheel. They didn't realize how bad Jerry Reese was at his job. And so they basically went back to a guy they felt comfortable with in Gettleman. But Gettleman, again, you know, he's a Giants lifer, so he's going to still kind of go with more of the old school way of thinking. But that roster was so bad, you kind of needed someone fresh in there to completely blow it up. Because, again, we knew this for a while now, that Jerry Reese was so bad at his job that we probably had, like, one of the three worst GMs in the league. Bottom three, by far, with Jerry Reese. So, like, when you have a guy like that in the job for 8 years, guess what? Things are going to go bad. And, you know, the Giants right now, if you look at how this team is performing execution-wise, we are without question a bottom three team in the league again. And it's deserved. Like, there's nothing about this 1-4 record that's fluky or bad luck. It's completely deserved based on the talent level I see, because it doesn't matter how good your skill position players are, you actually have to build out a well-rounded roster. This team, you know, you bring in free agents that can't execute. That's a failure on the GM's part. That's why I put 70% of this on Gettleman. You brought in Nate Solder. You brought in Omame to block on this offensive line. They're both getting beat horribly. It's not even close. And maybe New England realized that Solder was done, so that's why New England didn't even try to bring him back. But the Giants made him the highest paid left tackle in the league. This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And that doesn't even get talked about. That's the thing that annoys me with the media. Like, no one's paying attention.
This is what I said. Everybody stayed quiet for the past 6-7 years, and nobody said anything about Reese. And draft after draft, I mean, you go back and look at the draft picks that Jerry Reese made. How many is in the league right now? Not talking about on the Giants. In the league. The people that he got...
Are we talking about percentage of players or actual players?
If I want to kill somebody.
Just to prep the audience for this, it's like, if we were actually going by percentage of players or number of players, guess what? The number is still in the single-digit range. That's how bad Jerry Reese's drafting has been.
And nobody said anything for years. Nobody said anything. Nobody said anything about the moves that he should have made on draft day that he never made. You know, nobody said anything. You know, I mean, this is going back a long while. You know, and for some reason, the press gave him a pass. And I couldn't understand it. I was, well, he won 2 Super Bowls. He didn't, you know, what's the great move that he made to win those Super Bowls?
Well, again, the 2011 roster that the Giants won with were still holdovers from the 2017. Like, I always question that one because everyone always brings up 2011. A lot of that team were still holdovers from 2007 because Justin Tuck was still on that team. There were holdovers from the defense and the offensive line. The offensive line was old and hanging on by a thread. We were the worst offensive line in football. Because we couldn't run the football with that team. Ahmad Bradshaw was, like, doing miracle work with some of the power runs he was actually able to pull off because of his running style before the foot injuries eventually ended his career. But, like, the Giants were a terrible run-blocking team back then, too, and they were barely average pass-blocking. It's like we were the worst run-blocking team in the league. We were average at best pass-blocking, and it was an old line. It was already old line because a lot of the guys were still holdovers from the last Super Bowl. You know, again, it's like the Giants, like I talked about this before, the Giants haven't had a Pro Bowler on the offensive line since Chris Knee in 2012. That was Chris Knee's last healthy year on the team. Since that time, the Giants are dead last because every other team has had at least one Pro Bowl player on their roster that's made a Pro Bowl. Like, the Giants, like, until they traded for Solder, they haven't even had that. It's like, most teams realize that in order to win in the NFL, you actually have to have a talented enough lineman to be blocking for you. The Giants have whiffed on 2 draft picks in the first round on the offensive line because Pugh just never could stay healthy, and Flowers was a complete another train wreck. And so, again, people were picking on Flowers, and rightfully so, but they weren't picking on the guy who drafted him that high. It's like, it's just miserable watching the media in New York operate because they don't ask the questions that should be asked. Like, people are questioning the effort of this Giants team. No kidding, this team doesn't play with a whole lot of effort. But if you look at the talent level of this team, the talent level isn't where it's supposed to be. Because if you're watching that offensive line play, it's not because of lack of effort. That's the scary part. I just think that some of these linemen, like between Solder and Omame, I think they may be done. And, you know, when you commit that much money to an offensive lineman, you better be sure with all the tests you've done that they can still play. And we've just badly have misjudged these guys. And it's killed the season. The season is officially over. We're better off tanking the rest of these games. And I'm, you know, as much as I love Eli, it would be mercy showing Eli to the bench. And it's not because Eli is playing that poorly. But it would be more cruel to have Eli keep playing in front of an offensive line this bad than to try to win some games with him, getting his ass handed to him the way he is. Because he got hit 18 times last night. Between the sacks and the hits, he got hit 18 times. You cannot survive in the NFL at that rate. It's impossible. As durable as the Mannings are, I would be more concerned about Eli's long-term health at his age, at 37, getting hit that often. It's embarrassing.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Because we got a game next Monday night against a terrible Atlanta defense. And guess what? That Atlanta defense is still probably going to end up teeing off on Eli. That's how bad this offensive line is playing right now. Even in an Atlanta team with no linebackers, no real pass rush, I still think that they're going to be able to hit Eli at least a dozen times. Because this offensive line just misses block assignments repeatedly. I don't understand what is going on in the meeting room from Monday to Saturday night to get these guys ready, but like something's off. It's like, I don't know if it's just the scouting staff just missing on certain guys or this coaching staff isn't up to the task, but like regardless, somebody's got to have changeover. Because like you could change over some of these players, but like, there's something fundamentally wrong within the organization right now, because for whatever reason, these guys are not on the same page. You got guys doing making roster decisions, and a coaching staff trying to coach certain principles to players that do not actually buy into the system that they're playing in. Because Olivier Vernon and Jack Rabbit, Janoris Jenkins, should both be gone next year. They have to be gone. And I would also say, and I brought this point up to you last night, Snacks Harrison has to be traded in the middle of the season. He has to be traded. Even if you only get a 6th or 7th round pick, Snacks Harrison can be useful to someone else. But he is not useful to us in this capacity right now. He's not playing a 3-4 well. He's not adjusting. You have to trade him.
He doesn't like playing the 3-4. He doesn't like it.
You've got to trade him.
We saw it coming because he was getting problems in the preseason.
It's like even if you're only getting a 6th or 7th round pick, you have to trade Snacks Harrison. There's no getting around it. It's just a complete waste having him there in that system. And if that's the best he can do, if that's the best he can do, it's not even worth it. And I know Snacks Harrison is not someone who's going to be loafing around. Because I could say that of Janoris Jenkins. Jack Rabbit spaces out all the time. He checks out constantly, especially if he's on a team that's not winning. That's the issue of giving a guy like
that
big money.
That shuts down. that Earth caught last night, I mean, you got to be kidding me. He can't get beat that bad. He had no idea where, you know, like, he thought he was going, I mean, you got to be kidding me. You can't get beat that bad. You know? I mean, he was in the corner by himself. I have no idea, you know, why he cut that route off like that. Yeah. Anyway, I gotta make a.
Yeah. We'll catch up later, Kelly. You take it easy.
Talk later.
Yep, take it easy.
Okay, done.
Yeah. So, hey, Throwdown Nation, are you at the bottom of your fantasy league wondering what is going on with your quarterback? Well, I think I've got a new show that may just fit the bill for you. The show is called Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks to get your burning questions answered, such as, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Can Aaron Rodgers actually play a full season on one healthy leg? And can Dak Prescott actually lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl in spite of Jerry Jones? Coach Weiss and co-host Steve Stroud have got you covered on all things quarterbacks. Listen now on Apple Podcasts or any major media platform. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position. I mean, I can go through the entire litany of things that are wrong with the New York Giants. And you could talk about Eli all you want, but that's just being lazy. It's like there are so many things functionally wrong with the New York Football Giants right now that just to say that benching Eli is going to make everything better, it ain't going to improve the play calling because the play calling has to get better. The defense clearly doesn't believe in the scheme that they're running because I watch multiple players give up on plays entirely. And the fact that we're relying on a couple of free agents from a few years ago to just make everything better for the defense. You know, I feel bad for certain players. Landon Collins is playing his ass off in just situations that are not are beyond his control. You know, people want to focus on Odell screaming into the fan, and not a fan in stance, literally a humidifier fan on the field, on the sidelines. You know, yeah, is it weird? Yeah, Odell's a weird dude to begin with. Like, I know he's psyching himself up, but for the commentary to be focused on Odell being a weirdo and saying that's why the Giants are struggling, it's moronic. People want to make this into two camps. Blame Odell. Blame Eli. And and missing the entire picture of what's wrong with the Giants as a whole. Because they want to make an agenda where they put all the blame on Odell or they put all the blame on Eli. Eli has some of the blame to take as well. Because Eli is not who he once was. He's missing some throws he should be hitting. But because the Giants have so few opportunities, Eli has to hit every single one of those throws even to be competitive because of how bad the offensive line is. And Eli is not that guy anymore that can overcompensate for the inefficiencies of his offensive line. He's just not that guy. He needs the support of the offense to help him through winning double-digit games. And right now, the core cast of this offense is so imbalanced between skill position and value players that it's so heavily skewed in the wrong way. We would actually need to draft a mobile quarterback that can run around like Russell Wilson does and just do sandlot football and toss up passes to Odell, Shepard, and Ingram and Saquon and not run a set offense. You basically need to take a Deshaun Watson and run a complete unorthodox system in order to make this offensive line, because the offensive line will still suck. But the only way to be productive on offense is to do what Russell Wilson does and extend plays and then chuck the ball up into the air with great arm strength and let the skill position players win battles one-on-one. Because a scheme is not going to work with an offensive line this bad. You can blame for those who don't like Odell, and I know there are multiple folks who don't like Odell. I've told Odell to shut up on occasion. Believe me, I won't lie about that, because Odell sometimes is too much of a diva and doesn't actually see the bigger picture. I think Odell does see the bigger picture with this team because I think he sees that, you know, management has set them up to fail because there's no way for him to actually get the ball this year because the offensive line is like, you take your pick on who on the offensive line has been the turnstile of the play. Because, like, every series, there's at least one offensive lineman getting beat so badly that Eli is getting hit under 3 seconds. Like, under 3 seconds is, like, no NFL QB outside of a handful of mobile quarterbacks is actually going to be able to move out of pocket fast enough to avoid a rush that's coming in with less than 4 seconds. It's like that margin is so thin for certain QBs. Most QBs need at least 4 seconds of protection. At least 4 seconds to make a primary read and get off that primary read and to look at the secondary and the hot read. You need 4 seconds. Like, the Giants can't even manage 2.9. Like, they can't even get to 3. Like, most of the time, it's like Eli has 2.5 seconds, tops. And that's just not a productive way of playing football. And so for everyone in the media to be pitting this against Eli and Odell, it's just idiotic. And the locker room is now starting to buy into that BS. That's the problem with this team. It's like too many guys are already checked out, so now they're looking to assign blame. So that's why you got all these anonymous quotes going around in the New York media as to who's to blame for the offense. Guess what? It's a lot of it's on the coaching staff and a lot of it's on the GM. That's the bottom line. And so I've been ranting and raving on this enough. Like, we're already approaching almost 40 minutes of this junk. You know, I could talk about the Yankees getting eliminated. But, you know, you already know, like, if you've been listening to the show, you already know my thoughts on Aaron Boone and the fact that he was that unqualified to take the job because he's the Manchurian manager that Brian Cashman has always wanted. Well, sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for because you just get it. Because now you got a manager that doesn't think and doesn't have any reaction skills to perceive what's going on around him. And now the story is that, oh, the Yankees think the Red Sox knew Severino's pitches ahead of each pitch selection. Well, guess what? If you play a team enough times and they see your pitcher enough times, yeah, they're probably going to have a good idea of what your system is. Maybe if you were smart enough to actually come up with your own system and cues, you wouldn't be in that spot. So I don't really have any sympathy for the Yankees because guess what? They did this to themselves. I mean, no one told you to leave Severino in there longer than he had any right to be in that game. No one told you to leave CC Sabathia when he had nothing in the tank in that long against a left-handed constructed lineup for the Red Sox to get pounded. And then to compound matters, you bring in Zach Britton, who's also a left-hander, when you have multiple power right-handed pitchers in your bullpen and you give up another run with Britton that you could have avoided. And guess what? You lost 4-3. You know, you gave up 2 runs you didn't need to because you didn't go to your right-handed bullpen well in advance. Like, you know, the fact that, like, people want to, like, criticize certain aspects, it's like now the media is picking on Aaron Boone. That should have happened months ago. I don't know why it's so hard for folks to call out things the way they see it. Boone got the rub for nepotism purposes, and guess what? He's a media guy, so he's chummy with a lot of guys in the media, so they don't want to call out their buddy. But, you know, if we're being honest with ourselves here, Aaron Boone has no business being in charge of a team that's as big as the Yankees. He has no background. You know, they can say what they want, but, like, experience does matter for certain things. You do need some type of experience when you're taking that big of a leap. Sometimes it's a bit too much to bite off. Maybe Aaron Boone improves dramatically over the offseason when he takes stock of everything that teams were able to do to him and the fact that the Yankees were ill-equipped to actually hit and run, play small ball. Like, they couldn't do any of that. Like, other teams had multiple ways of winning. The Yankees had one way of winning. Smash the ball as hard as possible and hope it goes out of the ballpark. That was it. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I can't, I can't say that I'm angry about the Yankees season ending the way it did, because to me, I saw that as a foregone conclusion, whether it was going to happen against Boston or whether it was going to happen against the Astros. I thought they would at least make it push it to five games with the Red Sox once they got the split. But, you know, when you mismanage two games like Boone mismanaged games three and four, I mean, that's why you get beat in four games. Because no matter what you do, like, you can't mismanage games that way. They're like, you will lose series very quickly doing that. I mean, Girardi got away with it against the Indians in game two because he managed to self-correct after game two and took care of business after that fact. But, you know, again, I can rant and rave about this all I want, but it's not going to change the fact of the matter is that the Yankees have to do a lot of soul-searching. And guess what? The Giants better be doing some deep level evaluation of their actual roster and making some decisions, because some of these guys need to be traded now and just figure out what the trade value is and execute the trades now and then start building up for next year. The season's over. And it's completely broken the way the offense is. It's not looking like it's going to get that much better. So if you're already coming up with excuses with week six, guess what? The next 10 weeks are going to be even more painful to deal with. So, you know, I will keep following along because that's what a fan does. But, you know, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. So for everyone who wants to waste their breath yelling about Eli, yelling about Odell, you're wasting your time. Look at the rest of the roster and then start figuring out what the issues are. Because then you'll actually see why the ownership and the general management and the coaching staff deserve the most blame in all this mess. So that does it for the show tonight. The Rangers actually did manage to win a game last night. The one of the 20 games that they may actually win this year because of how bad they are. So it's a bad time for New York sports. But, you know, that's how it goes in this cycle of life at times. So. That's what that's going to do for the show. Have a good one, folks. I'll start prepping for week six weekend for Sunday as well as the DFS pick. So stay tuned and have a good one.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB. Featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach, Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.